see trees of green, red roses too.
This is Global Radio Talk Show. I'm Ed Cohen, your host. I'm the editor of Global HR, all about managing globally mobile talent for competitive gain. Well, our radio talk show is coming to you today from Las Vegas, and our guest is Sylvia LaFerre, PhD, president of Creative Energy Options, Inc. That's CEO, Inc.
Hi, Ed. How are you doing in Las Vegas?
That's great. We're here in the hotel, which is part of Mandalay Bay across from the airport. I see that you are an author and a lecturer and consultant. One of your books is called Don't Bring It to Work. Another is Pattern Aware Success Guide. And this one intrigues me, Gutsy, How Women Leaders Make Change. So your mission, as I read your site, is to target and transform workplace patterns in order to spark success. So tell us a little bit about your book, Don't Bring It to Work.
Well, let me tell you how all of this came about. It's kind of a fun story. My background is in family therapy, and we had a pretty significant program going in suburban Philadelphia. And one night we were working with parents whose teenage kids were driving them bonkers, so it was a very packed house. And at the end of the program, a man came up and he said to me, "Will you come work with my senior leadership team?" He said, "They're fighting." And I said, "So what?" So he said, "But Sylvia, you work with people who have to get along, families, and they have to get along." Well, you know, it kind of made sense. You know, their shared interest in life through genetics, the family, and then their shared interest through economics, which is the workplace, two pretty powerful forces. So I went in and did some work there. You want to know what happened?
What happened?
The book wouldn't have come about if that hadn't been a success. I used the tools that I had learned in working with families, and they worked in the workplace. And this group started to get along better, and word got out, and I was getting a lot of calls from businesses in the tri-state East Coast area around Philadelphia. And before you know it, I had taken a left-hand turn and said, I only want to work with businesses because I saw change happening faster and more effectively. And then people were taking home what they learned at work. So it was a double win.
So tell me about learning relationship skills. And what's the secret to being a better boss or coworker?
Well, I think we have to learn what pushes our buttons and be able to really learn how to turn that around, not just complain about it. You know, you ever sit in a meeting, Ed, and somebody could say, tomorrow's Thursday, and you go, you know, he's absolutely right. And then somebody else later could say, tomorrow's Thursday, and you think, what does that jerk know? So it's really, we have to begin to say, what is it in us that creates these kind of behaviors? We call them patterns because here's what I've learned over time, and it's a kind of unique position to think about. What we learned about relationships, we learned in our original organization, and that's the family. And how we behaved with our parents, were we able to speak up or were we told to be quiet? You know, were we in competition with our siblings? That's all in us. It's in our nervous system. It's deep in us. And when we go to work, we've created work to be very similar to the family. We have bosses, i.e. parents. We have coworkers, like siblings. We get salaries. We used to get allowances. And we even get timeouts. They're called performance improvement plans. So it's in us. And when somebody at work starts to bother us more deeply than is really necessary, we have to go back and figure out where it came from. I don't know, does that make any sense to you?
It sure does. It's so commonsensical sounding that you wonder why we lose track of it in our daily lives. I guess we get busy with our to-dos, we get busy with annoyances or things outside work that we think about. So how do you keep your sanity?
Well, you keep your sanity by really learning to make visible what we walk into the workplace and is invisible, these behavior patterns. It's life-changing in terms of the fact that once we see them, they're there and we can work with them. You know, if it's invisible, it's kind of like mosquitoes flying around. You can't see, and yet you've got all these itchy bumps on you. It's the same thing with these patterns. So when I wrote Don't Bring It to Work, it's based on our program that's won a bunch of awards. The book has won some. I'm going to take some bragging rights for a minute. But the program we have is called Total Leadership Connections. And one of the things we do with all the people in the program is have them look back to see where these patterns are that somebody at work starts to, you know, trigger. And then we help them flip them to what I call the healthy opposite. So I can give you some examples if you like.
Yes, please, right ahead.
Well, let me start with me and how I learned about this. So this is full disclosure. I was at a meeting, this is years ago now, but I was at a meeting in the morning and something happened. It was very annoying and I kind of put my hand down on the desk too hard and said, "This is ridiculous." And somebody turned to somebody else and said, "Man, she is a drama queen." So I left the meeting and I thought to myself, what do they know? Anyway, I got home, I got to another meeting in the afternoon, and again, different set of people, different circumstance, same response from Sylvia. I got really upset, and I was sort of railing about what had happened, and somebody came up to me after and said, "Sylvia, when you're that dramatic, it gets annoying." And I left the meeting, and I said, "What does he know?"
Right.
That's twice. Three times is the magic number. That night, one of my daughters called from college, and she was telling me something, and I said, "Michaela, that's absolutely ridiculous." And she said, "You know, Mom, when you get on that track, I can't talk to you, so how about if I call you back another day?" And we hung up, and I sat there, and I thought, boy, you know, I better look in the mirror. So I started thinking about the fact as a kid, if I wanted attention, I just had a hissy fit. Okay, so there we go. So Sylvia's a drama queen, so, you know, I could have that stamped on my forehead, and so what? Then I started thinking, so what do you do? And I started looking at how to transform this pattern, and I realized that I have become, over time, a pretty good storyteller. So I can still do the drama, I still get the adrenaline rush, but I use it for positive reasons. In the book, I've come up with 13 of the most common patterns that came from our childhood that we bring into the workplace. So drama queen or king. I'll bet you know some drama kings too, huh, Ed?
Yes.
Anyway, I'll tell you just a couple more of the patterns. There are 13. It's too many to go through. But another one that's very common in the workplace is the avoider. And that's the person, and if you're in a meeting and it starts getting stressful, that's the person who usually looks at his or her watch and says, "Oh, I forgot I have another meeting, I better leave." And psh, they're out the door. You know, or if you start talking and it gets contentious, they somehow have to go somewhere else. So the avoider transformed, and usually they come from families where there was a lot of arguing that never got resolved. So they learned, I'm out of here. The avoider transformed becomes what we call an initiator. And that's the person who will come in and say, "Look, we're having some conflict, and I really want to work it through, and I don't want to leave till we get it resolved." So you flip this energy to its other side.
So I need to ask you, this is pretty normal then. The kinds of things that you're describing go on in families because mm-hmm. of, you know, financial pressures or actual personality. You know, people are sick of each other, but they don't want to face up to it, so they avoid things in the family, or they, what, go out for a walk, or in the extreme, I guess some people cheat on spouses or pick fights with someone else because they have a problem here or there. And yet at work, because there's financial power there and fear of losing a job, people tend to, what, deflect this?
You're saying it absolutely correctly. You know, if people, as they grew up in families, were able to have, you know, family councils or talk with a parent and or a sibling and resolve issues, they're more prone in the workplace to stick with it. But if they came from situations where nothing got resolved, that's deep in them, and so they deflect. They've got to get out of there. You know, you kind of pull the blanket over your head. That's the denier. I mean, they're out of the 13, you know, we on the Sylvia LaFaire website, there's a pattern aware quiz that you can take, and you can begin to see what your specific patterns are. I mean, it's not foolproof, but you get a sense. I'll tell you a quick funny story with that is somebody called and talked to one of my colleagues at work and said, I took the test and I absolutely disagree. I came up with a major pattern of being an avoider. So my colleague said, and she said, I'm very annoyed and it's been bothering me. And my colleague said, well, how long ago did you take the test? She said, 3 months ago, but I just didn't want to call. And it was like, bingo, you know,
right.
There's the avoider. So we helped her learn how to stay with it and actually go in when things are difficult and be the one to start the conversation. I mean, to change these patterns, you have to put some elbow grease in.
So how do you do this? Is this a mentoring session or is it ongoing?
It's a combination. One of the things is first to take the quiz. So you begin. What we say is there's a way out, O-U-T, out. So you observe the pattern. You begin to say, as I did that day, that 3 times in a day I got nailed as a drama queen, I couldn't ignore it anymore. I didn't like it. You know, and it was kind of fun, but I couldn't ignore that it was getting in the way of my success and, you know, moving and annoying other people. So if somebody is an avoider, you take the test or you begin to ask people or you pay attention. You start to observe your own behavior. The next is to understand. So it's O for observe, U for understand. And that's where you say, where else did this happen? How did this come to be? So I had a track back because I have an older brother. It's just the two of us, and he was kind of king of the hill. So as I said, if I wanted attention, I just did a hissy fit. So I learned how to do that very early. In families where they're avoiders, they learn get out of here because it's not going to get resolved. You know, in some families, another one of the patterns that's very common is the superachiever. And I'm not talking about somebody who strives for excellence. That's fine. We should all be doing that. I'm talking about the me guy or gal who always has to be first and the best and, you know, they have to prove to everybody that they know more than anybody else. And what happens at the workplace is it diminishes trust and it shuts people down. And so the super achiever, once they begin to see that, you know, why is it I always have to be the top gun in everything I do, they become creative collaborators. And they make good team people once they can flip it. But they often come from families where there was some sadness or some disgrace or, you know, a financial bankruptcy or somebody ended up in prison or whatever it could be. And they are there to prove how wonderful they and / their family is. So it starts early, and you see it in school, and it creates a lot of stress. But so it's out. Observe, yep, I do that. Understand, yep, it came from when I was younger. I can change it. And then the T is to transform. And that's where you put the elbow grease in, and you have to have partners who will call you on things, and you can journal during the day and jot things down so you begin to connect the dots. In Don't Bring It to Work, there are a lot of workbook-type things that you can do yourself. If you have the time and the financial ability, get a coach. Coaches are fabulous for this kind of thing. And we work with teams. And when a whole team can begin to own their behavior, their patterns, success comes very much more quickly. So I hope this is making sense to you. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, so this is a book called Don't Bring It to Work, and I heard you talk a lot about patterns, and so what did describe was that people have patterns, and they just exhibit them in different ways, different locations.
That's exactly right, Ed.
Now tell us about Gutsy, about women leaders. What's the big deal here? Why is this book important?
growing up at a time where I'm old enough that I watched some of the changes where women did stand behind the scenes more, and now you see more and more women speaking up. We say it's good to be gutsy. And what I do in the book, the Gutsy book, is help people track literally from their births. You know, in so many cultures, little girls are having a girl rather than, yay, I'm having a boy. I mean, it's changing, but that's been there. So even being born, the theme begins, and it still happens in many countries around the world, not so much in our culture as it used to be. And then you begin to track as you grow up and how little girls have learned how to behave. And is there really something about this girls in pink and boys in blue? Well, there really is. If you read the book, you'll find out what it is. It's pretty interesting. I did some fun research for this. What I have found with the book is that it gives women more courage to speak up. Again, it's about looking at their own patterns. And the pleaser has been very much one. The pleaser and the martyr are two of the key patterns that women have taken through the generations and kind of locked into their nervous systems. So a pleaser becomes a truth teller, and a martyr becomes an integrator. An integrator, when I say that, means if there's a heavy rock to push up a very steep hill, a martyr will say, oh, I'll do it all by myself, and then, you know, want your firstborn or a brand new BMW or something for their efforts. An integrator says, you do this part, I'll do this part, we can do that together, let's call somebody else in, and we'll get that rock up the hill, and then nobody's tired, and we can have a party. So all of that stuff is kind of in there, focused for women. But what I have found is more men are calling me saying, oh, my God, Sylvia, I understand my significant other, I understand my daughters, I understand my colleagues at work better having read it. I didn't write it for that reason, but I'm pretty delighted with the results I'm getting.
We're talking with Sylvia Lafair, PhD, but also president of CEO Inc., and this stands for Creative Energy Options.
Well, Creative Energy Options is, as the term says, we believe there are so many ways up the mountain, and we like to help people begin to see, learn the dialogues and the ways of working. So we go in, we do a lot of leadership development. As I said, our leadership program, which is in its 12th year, by the way, I still adore it. We go in and do team building in companies. We help people begin to see where these patterns are. I used to go in mostly, and our staff, we have some pretty wonderful people we work with, to go in when the conflict was already there, and I started calling myself the Roto-Rooter woman. And I finally, you know, it's a lot of cleanup work. So I know enough of people at a high enough level, I'd say, you know, what about, it's just like with your health, what about if we do it proactively? What if we go in and teach this so that when the tensions come, people have the skills to learn how to solve their own issues at work? And that's what we do, and I love it. And it's been, you know, highly successful. And then, as I said, coming from my family therapy background, I get calls. One of the funniest ones was some woman called me, and she said, I'm so-and-so's wife. He was in our leadership program. And I said, is everything okay? You know, you kind of have, that's an automatic pattern when somebody you don't think is to call, there's an automatic, is something wrong? And she said, no, everything's fine. So I said, well, what can I do for you? She said, I'm calling to thank you. I said, for what? She said, I don't know. All she said is, he's so much nicer. The kids have noticed it. He handles things with so much more finesse than he ever did. And he's even getting along with my mother, his mother-in-law. She said, it's a miracle, Sylvia. So I thought, wow, this stuff really does. You know, we are who we are, and it's an illusion to think we're supposed to be different at work than we are at home. It's really good if we can be authentic and aligned and whole people. So that's what we do.
This is Dr. Sylvia. You've heard of Dr. Ruth? Well, this is Dr. Sylvia. Dr. Sylvia Lafair. And so, Sylvia, what is your website?
Okay, we have two of them. One is ceoptions.com, you know, C-E, Charlie Edward, C-E-O, P-T-I-O-N-S.com. And the other is Sylvia with a Y, S-Y-L-V-I-A, Lafair, L-A-F-A-I-R, www.globalradiotalkshow.com.
And this is Ed Cohen, your host of Global Radio Talk Show, broadcast service of globalhrnews.com. Thank you, Dr. Sylvia, and welcome you to come back and be our guest to discuss other things and to be a faculty member at one of our conferences.
Oh, I would love that, Ed. Love it. And I enjoyed this so much. Thank you.
I would love it, too. Okay, this is Ed Cohen signing off from Las Vegas.
I've been